Welcome back for our final lesson of the Bethel School of Discipleship Old Testament course. So this fourth lesson will begin by looking at the rest of the wisdom literature books, and then we'll get into the prophets. So the goal for this final lesson is to see how through suffering, poetry, and prophecy, we encounter a God who still speaks. He corrects, he comforts, and everything is pointing forward to a coming Redeemer. The prophets call us to covenant faithfulness and hold out the hope of restoration, new hearts, and a future king. So starting us off is Job, and we learn that God speaks in suffering. Job reminds us that our deepest questions don't always get answered, but we get something better, God himself. So by way of overview, Job is a righteous man who suffers a devastating loss, loses his family, his livestock. He loses everything. His friends offer a shallow theology, but God eventually speaks, not with answers, but ultimately with his presence. Also interesting to note is Job was a Gentile who lived without any knowledge of the Abrahamic covenant. So it speaks to God has always been able to speak to our hearts. It's never just been about the Israelite people. So a couple of themes to dive more into is first, God's sovereignty. So the book of Job reminds us that God's rule extends over all creation, seen and unseen. Even Satan cannot act without God's permission. Job never learns the reason for his suffering, but he encounters the living God in a way that silences his demands for answers. This encounter reveals that God's purposes are bigger than human comprehension, and that his governance is perfect even when life feels chaotic or unjust. God's sovereignty calls us to trust his character even when we can't trace his plan. The closing chapters show that God's ultimate authority is not diminished by human suffering, but is the very reason his people can endure it with hope. Next theme is mystery over explanation. Job and his friends spent a lot of time debating the cause of his suffering. His friends wrongly assumed that Job's trials must be a punishment for hidden sin, reflecting on a common but flawed belief that suffering always equals divine judgment. God never gives Job a tidy explanation. Instead, he reveals his majesty and wisdom. This teaches that some suffering will remain unexplained on this side of eternity, and our peace must come from knowing who God is, not from having all the answers. And then another theme is true wisdom. Throughout Job's ordeal, the question emerged, what does it mean to be wise? Job's friends equate wisdom with defending their theological positions, even if it misrepresents God. In the end, true wisdom is found in humble trust, fearing God, and turning from evil. Job's repentance and forgiveness of his friends shows that trusting God's character is better than demanding explanations from him. And then for the book of Psalms, songs for every season. The Psalms give voice to every human emotion and shows us how to bring them to God. So the book of Psalms is a collection of 150 inspired songs, prayers, and poems that span centuries of Israel's worship, written by multiple authors, including David, who is said to have written a lot of them. We have the sons of Korah. We have Moses and others. And they capture the full range of human experience in relationship with God. They were originally used in temple worship and personal devotion, serving as both a hymn book and a prayer journal for God's people. The Psalms blend theology with doxology, teaching truths about God while calling his people to praise, lament, trust, and hope in him. These are timeless because they give voice to the heart's deepest cries and highest praises, showing us how to approach God in every circumstances of life. So a theme is honesty. It's remarkable, the raw honesty before God that we see, and that models that unfiltered communication is a good thing to bring before God, and that we should bring every type of emotion to him, whether it be despair or it be delight. Examples of that is, like in Psalms 13:1, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Alongside declaration of peace and trust, we also have this example in Psalm 4:8. "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." This central theme shows that prayer is not about polished words, but authentic hearts. God invites his people to come as they are. And we also see God's character. The Psalms reveal God as a personal and powerful protector, our shepherd, our refuge, and reigning king. So in terms of seeing the character of God that's revealed in the Psalms, it is a way that helps remind worshipers that God's greatness and goodness are inseparable, and that his power is always exercised in love toward his people. And another theme that's not always talked about is the Psalms really do talk about a messianic hope. So scattered throughout the Psalms are prophetic glimpses of the Messiah, his identity, his suffering, and his eternal reign. These include divine sonship, like in Psalms 2:7, it says, "You are my son, today I have become your father," which is later quoted in the New Testament, as well as the two that I'm about to say. The next one is Psalms 22:16. It's as they pierce my hands and my feet. And then Psalms 110:1, the Lord says, "My Lord, sit at my right hand." So these messianic psalms not only strengthen Israel's hope, but also confirm Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. Now we're going to shift into the prophets. And these are really God's covenant messengers. If we said one word more than any other word, it has been covenant, which is that God has made a contract with humanity, and he's been using various people in various roles in order to help bring about what he desired. And the prophets are no different. So what we have is Isaiah through Malachi. And again, they are not primarily predicting the future. They are God's voice calling his people back to covenant faithfulness. The prophets spoke in real moments, historical moments, confronting sin, warning of judgment, and pointing towards God's ultimate plan of restoration. And their words still speak today, urging us to trust God's promises and live in light of his coming kingdom. So typically, the prophetic books are broken up into two categories. You have your major prophets, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Book of Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And then your minor prophets, there are 12 of them, which is the Book of Hosea through Malachi. And by minor, it just means that they're shorter books, not that they are less significant. So we're going to look at common themes for all of these and then give quick things that are unique for each book. So common themes for all of the prophetic book is that it's about covenant lawsuits. So prophets often spoke in the language of a courtroom, presenting God's case against his people for breaking the terms of his covenant. They would remind Israel of God's past faithfulness and then list the specific ways the nation had violated his commands. This structure made it clear that God's judgment was not arbitrary. It was the rightful consequences of covenant breach. The lawsuit form also emphasized that God is both judge and redeemer, offering mercy to those who return to him. Another thing is we see a lot of warning and judgment. The prophets urgently warned Israel and Judah to turn from sin before disaster came. Their warnings were often tied to very real political and military threats, showing that God's discipline could come through invading nations. These calls to repentance were acts of grace, giving the people a chance to avoid the judgment that was coming, even when the people refused to listen. The warning stood as a testimony to God's justice and his desire for their restoration. And the next theme that's common in all these books is there's still hope and restoration that is spoken of. So even with the deliverance of message of judgment, the prophets constantly spoke of God's promises to restore his people. This hope was not vague. It was anchored in God's covenant faithfulness and often tied to specific stages of Israel's history surrounding the exile. And to understand the prophets, I think it's helpful to know the three exilic periods. So we've talked about this kind of sporadically. So I want to use this time just to say all three of those periods at one time. So first, what is considered the pre-exilic period, that is before the fall of Israel, which was in 722 BC, and Judah's fall, which was in 586 PC. So these are the prophets who spoke before that time. That includes Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, Micah, and Jeremiah. They warned of coming judgment, but also promised that God would one day gather his people again, restore their land, and raise up a righteous king from David's line. The exilic period, which is during the exile in Assyria, which is when that's the nation that took Israel into captivity. And we also have Babylon, which is the nation that took Judah into captivity. So during the exilic period, we have prophets like Ezekiel and Daniel who offered hope that God's presence had not left his people, even though they're not in their homeland. These prophets promised spiritual renewal, a new heart and a new spirit, and foretold the return from captivity. And then post-exilic period, this is after some had begun to return to the land. So beginning in 538 BC, Israel is returning from Babylon back to their homeland. And you got prophets like Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi that are encouraging the people to rebuild the temple, renew their covenant faithfulness, and look forward to the coming of the Messiah. So by linking God's promises to each stage of exile, the prophets showed that judgment was never the last word. Restoration was always on the horizon. This hope pointed ultimately to Jesus, in whom God's people are fully and finally restored. And one thing to note about the exilic period is that once Israel comes back from Babylonian exile, then they never struggle the same way they did before with idolatry. So their trust in God as the only God is solidified by their time in exile. So let's look at the major prophets first. And then also want you to make note that in parentheses, you'll see next to each prophet on your notes, you'll see that it tells you the main stage of history that they were prophesying about. So like Isaiah, you'll see the main stage was pre-exile. And that note is made next to each prophet. So hopefully that's a helpful clue as you go to read those books. You know what part of Israel's history that you're reading about. So Isaiah is really focused on talking about the Holy One and the coming King. So he offers the clearest Old Testament picture of the coming Messiah and the deepest call to holiness. His ministry spans both judgment and hope, warning of exile while proclaiming the birth of a child, the suffering of a servant, and the reign of a king. So themes that are underscored are holiness of God, God's purity and majesty define all reality and demand a response. Judgment and comfort as well is one way that's seen as how to break up the book. So like chapters 1 through 39 is a lot of Isaiah just confronting the sin of the people, whereas chapters 40 through 66 are more about bringing comfort and hope. And then the messianic prophecy that we see is this is the book that prophesies about the birth of Jesus, talks about the suffering, and about the Messiah being spirit anointed. Next, let's look at Jeremiah and Lamentations together. Often it is seen that Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentation. So Jeremiah warns a rebellious nation of coming exile while holding out the promise of a new covenant. After Jerusalem fall, Lamentation gives voice to grief, yet affirms God's unfailing love. Jeremiah is considered the weeping prophet. He is one of the ones who expresses his raw emotions, letting us into his thought and emotional life as he's sharing the prophetic words to the Israelites. Themes, he talks about covenant violation, persistent rebellion leads to judgment. He also is one of the prophets that we get the new covenant. We get the idea of what that means, and what it is that God will write his law on his people's heart. So Jeremiah is one of the ones who addresses that. And then third, hope in grief, trusting God's character even in devastation. We see that on grand display through Jeremiah and Lamentation. Next is the book of Ezekiel, which talks a lot about glory and restoration. So Ezekiel was prophesying from Babylonian. He had visions showing that God's presence is not confined to the temple and that he will renew his people from the inside out. So this was a huge revelation for them, because think about it. They really associated Yahweh with the temple in Jerusalem. So there's a Psalm, I think it's 137, that says, how can we worship God in a foreign land? And what they learned was that God truly was everywhere, and he wasn't just confined to Israel and Jerusalem, but they would experience him in Babylon. So that's the top theme there. God's presence, his glory remains with his people, even in exile. And Ezekiel, just like Jeremiah, also prophesied about that God would give his people a new heart and a new spirit. So transformation begins within before restoration is complete. And then also Ezekiel talks about the future temple. He points to a time when there would be renewed worship and intimacy with God in light of the fact that at that time the temple had been destroyed. Next, we have the book of Daniel. This one talks about God is sovereign over the nation. So that is it's a theme throughout all books, but we see it underscored in a unique way in the book of Daniel. So Daniel's faithfulness in Babylon and his vision of future kingdoms reveal God's control over history and his coming internal reign. So Daniel and his friends are an example of faith in exile. So they are able to remain true to God despite pressure to conform. And then also we see God over kings. So we see this idea of these human kingdoms rising, but yet eventually all these human kingdoms fall. And they're ultimately under the authority of God. And then third, we see this title, the Son of Man, is introduced, which represents the future, represents Jesus, who would use that title, and the idea that it is the Son of God who will actually rule forever, not just a human. Next, let's look at the minor prophets, which in general talk a lot about God's justice and mercy. So Hosea, Joel, Amos, they talk about God calls his people back. So Hosea is about God's faithful love endures even when his people are unfaithful. So Hosea is told by God to marry a prostitute and to continue to love her despite her continued unfaithfulness, because it was a representation of how the Israelites had been towards God. So very, very vivid example to really show the love of God for Israel, but also to show the unfaithfulness of the people. Joel, he has a theme, the day of the Lord. He talks a lot about that, which is the idea of judgment, that judgment was coming, but also it speaks of the promise of the Spirit. And then Amos is one of the prophets, or he doesn't hold the regular office of a prophet, but he is prophetic in that he addresses one of the main things that the office of prophet was to address, which was injustice. So he really speaks to that God demands justice and he rejects empty rituals. Next, we have Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and Nahum. What these all have in common is how they show the relationship of God towards other nations. So Jonah really speaks to God's mercy extends even to his enemies. God asked Jonah to go to Assyria, and this is before Assyria takes over Israel. But Jonah already knew that Assyria or Nineveh, that they were evil people. They were enemies of the Israelites, and Jonah didn't want to go to them because he knew that they would repent. And he didn't want them to experience the mercy of God. But yet we see that Jonah does end up going after a dramatic experience that he has, and God uses it to show that his mercy really is for everyone. And then we have Micah, who judgment tempered with the promise of a coming ruler from Bethlehem. So he is the one who predicts where Jesus would be born. Nahum, he assures that God will bring justice against oppressive nations. So he calls out the various nations who have been oppressing Israel and affirms that God is going to repay them, that they're not off the hook either. And then Obadiah condemns Edom for violence against Judah. And this rivalry goes all the way back to Esau and Jacob. Edom is really the descendants of Esau. So we see God is still has the covenant in mind that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in dealing with those who have been oppressive towards Israel. He plans to deal with them just as much as he's dealing with Israel. And then we have Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Haggai. And what they have in common is they speak of hope in dark days. Habakkuk is probably my favorite. He really shows that asking God questions is okay. So God revealed to Habakkuk that he was allowing the Chaldeans, which is just another name for Babylon, he was allowing them to take over Israel. And Habakkuk was shocked to know this information, but he continued to ask questions. He continued to wrestle with this reality until the point where he was able to still say that God was faithful. So that verse that we quote about that the righteous should live by faith is first quoted by Habakkuk, who even though knowing the truth that God was allowing this evil nation to take to that they were an instrument to bring down Israel, he was still able to trust God was going to bring good out of it. And then Zephaniah is another one who warns of the day of the Lord, which is the reality that judgment is coming. Judgment is a part of God's plan for bringing redemption and restoration, and it's for those who ultimately don't repent. But yet, restoration is for the faithful. And then we have Haggai, who is the prophet who the people listen to the most. And he urges God's people to rebuild the temple. And this is post-exile. This is after Babylonian exile and they're back in the land. So he urges them to rebuild the temple despite discouragement. And they actually do it. And then lastly, we have Zechariah and Malachi. Zechariah foretells the coming king and the ultimate restoration of God's people. And Malachi calls for covenant faithfulness and promises a forerunner to prepare the way for the Messiah. So, final note. The Old Testament can be best understood as a story held together by God's covenants. So we talked about the Noahic covenant, which is really God promises to preserve creation. So not just the people, but he promises that the animals as well, and the land and the earth, that he would not destroy it by flood ever again. And in the Abrahamic covenant, he selects this one family, and through them, his plan was to bring blessings to the nation. In the Mosaic covenant, he establishes Israel's identity and instructs them in how to live as his people. In a Davidic covenant, he promises an eternal throne and a king who will reign forever. And the promises are now connected to a future king and not just this idea of Israel. And then we have the new covenant, which is predicted ahead of time, that God would give his people a new heart and a new spirit, and it would be fulfilled in Christ. And each covenant really builds upon the last, and it weaves the Old Testament into a unified narrative of God's plan to redeem, which simply means to buy back and to restore his world. The prophetic books close the Old Testament with the unshakable promise: God will act to renew his people, send his Messiah, and fill the earth with his glory. There are centuries of silence that follows, but it's not the end, but it's just the pause before the arrival of God's word made flesh. So God uses the Israel people to really prepare the world to receive the Messiah. This is the end of the Bethel School of Discipleship Old Testament course. Hope that it's been helpful. And if you're participating with it during the class, as a class, then you'll have time to be able to ask questions with the discussion. Otherwise, I do encourage you to use the discussion questions on your own time, and ask people that you know, and continue to process the material.